It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eaten Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. Week 10 in the National Football League. It is the podcast that is still sweeping the nation. It is the Fantasy Feast. I'm Ross Tucker. 7-year journeyman offensive lineman in the NFL with 5 different teams, which of course qualifies me as a fantasy football expert. He is Evan Silva. He's like a full-fledged charter member of the Fantasy Football Expert Society. He runs rotoworld.com, which for my money is the best fantasy football site out there, certainly the best free fantasy football site out there for any information you want. They got a bunch of sickos like Evan over there that spend a lot of time on this. I mean, these guys that come out with snap counts during game. I mean, it is crazy the information that the fantasy community has provided to all of us that love the NFL so much. You can always get this podcast at iTunes, Stitcher, or if you need to get a feed for whatever device you're using, just go to rostucker.com, and at the top of any of the podcast pages, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, the Even Money Gambling Wagering Podcast, or this podcast, you can see the different feeds, RSS links, everything you need to be able to access this bad boy from whatever device, wherever you are. You can also see our Amazon landing pages. So it's a banner ad. You click on that, it takes you to a landing page that they trigger back to our podcast, which is awesome. So if you need to start buying something for people as the holidays get closer, even if you just need something for yourself, we would love it. If you love what we're doing here, we would love it if you just clicked on that Amazon thing before you actually buy what you're going to buy. Anyway, we also have a bunch of sponsors on those pages that are awesome, like stamps.com. Free trial. There's literally no risk to get connected with stamps.com. Evan, I got another win. 122 points last week, the highest of the week. I won. That's a week after scoring 115 and losing. I am now 4-5 on the season. And by the way, you guys can check this out at the Fantasy Feast page at rostucker.com. Evan, you are 4-5 as well. And if I'm looking at this correctly, I am in 8th place, if you look at the points so far. You are in 10th place.
That's
so
right.
So let me know if you need me to take over rotoworld.com, if you're looking for an employer, if you're looking for something else to do with your life, just let me know. I can hook you up with some people.
Well, but we're also both in position where we kind of got to run the table. I mean, to get into the playoffs, I think you mentioned earlier that only 4 teams make the playoffs. So, you know, in our 14-team league. So we're both going to have to get really hot. I mean, I need Michael Floyd to start doing something. I need LeSean McCoy to start scoring touchdowns. You know, I mean, we're going to need to rip off a lot of wins here in a row.
It's interesting, Evan, because I'm curious if this relates to everybody else's league. There's a 7-2 team. There's 3-6-3 teams. There's 3-5-4 teams. There's 4-4-5 teams. There's 2-3-6 teams, and then there's a 1-8 team that's really struggling. But it just seems like almost similar to the NFL a little bit, a lot of teams in that 4-5 to 6-3 range right in the middle there. Is that typical?
I think it's pretty typical. I'm actually in one league where there are 12 teams, and every single team, I kid you not, is either 5-4 or 4-5, every single team. I mean, it was amazing to look at that. I looked at it, I think, yesterday, and there, you know, half the league is 5-4, the other half is 4-5. So,
what do you think the reasoning is for that?
I don't know what to say. You know, I mean, it's just it's tough, man. I mean, you know, I haven't seen in all my leagues. I really haven't seen a whole lot of juggernaut teams where, you know, I mean, a team is 8-1 or 9-0. I haven't seen any of that, you know. So if you're in that position, kudos to you.
Yeah, well, I guess the net for me is that the fact that you have the same record as me and the fact that I've actually scored more points, it just makes me feel a lot better about myself because I know how knowledgeable you are. I know how good you are. So I'm just thankful that shows me that I didn't blow it that much or that I don't blow it that much on a weekly basis. So let's keep that going. We've got the Browns and the Bengals starting on Thursday night. Bri, let's do it.
Next meal.
All right, Ross, we've got the Browns and the Bengals on Thursday night.
Thanks, Bri.
You're welcome.
I don't know what we would do without you.
Appreciate it.
At least you play the next meal sounder. You get it? Fantasy Feast, Eaton. I get it. Let's start, Evan, with the Browns, the road team here. They're not running the ball very well. Where are you right now with the running back situation for people that might own Tate, West, or Crowell?
Right, and I mean the run game has just completely fallen apart after, you know, since they lost Alex Mack. I mean, it can be directly linked to that. I don't think Ben Tate has looked particularly good on the field. I mean, it's not like he's had holes to run through and he looks slow running through the holes, but you know, he looks kind of plodding to me. And again, the lack of holes will skew that. But you know, it wasn't surprising as the game progressed last week to see another guy in there. And last week, Terrence West wound up leading the Browns in the backfield in touches and snaps. We got nothing from Isaiah Crowell. He didn't even play a down. And I think that a lot of people would probably say that he's the most talented back on the team. But neither Terrence West nor Ben Tate had much success. So now this week, do we see some Isaiah Crowell? I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. And because there's so little clarity in the backfield for the Browns, even against a bad Bengals run defense. I mean, the Bengals have a bottom three run defense. You know, you're kind of on your own trying to start Browns running backs in a fantasy league. Terrence West would seem to be the best bet, but at the same time, you know, Ben Tate hasn't gone away yet, and Isaiah Crowell could easily come back into the picture. So it's, you know, it's kind of you're kind of throwing darts. Terrence West would be your best option, but I don't think he's a very good option.
Yeah, I think West is the best option. I don't know what happened to Ben Tate, but I don't think he looked very good at all on Sunday. Yeah. I would not be rolling with Ben Tate. I have him in a league, and I'm going to bench him. I'd rather go with some other guys. I don't like how he looked. Let me say one more thing, though, that I think needs to be said, which is I think Alex Mack's a tremendous player, and I know that the rushing totals have gone down since he went out of the lineup, but the game he got hurt, they kept running the crap out of the ball when Greco moved to center and McQuiston came in at right guard in that game. And as good as Alex Mack is, it's not like people make it sound like every time that they can't run the ball, so it's the center's fault every time. He's not making his block every time. The reality is I think teams are a little bit more keyed in on what they're doing. I don't think Tate's running the ball as well. And I think that they have been hurt a little bit by Alex Mack, but some of the other offensive linemen are not playing as well either. So
right,
it's
but,
more
but
than
Ross,
just Alex
I mean,
Mack.
But Ross, they haven't been able to run the ball against Oakland, Jacksonville, and Tampa Bay. How much does offensive line continuity, you know, regardless of Alex Mack, how much does that matter, offensive line continuity?
It matters because a lot of the stuff, especially in the zone blocking scheme, mm-hmm. it's timing stuff. So it's when that guy knows to go up to the second level for the linebacker, when that guy knows he can leave the guy he's blocking. So that is a part of it. And they kind of jumbled it up by moving Greco, putting McQuesten in, and then switching around a little bit. So I do think that part of it is well. I just don't want to – I mean, let's not act like Alex Mack is worth 3 yards per carry, right? I mean, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. I do want to ask you quickly, wide receivers. Hawkins, especially in a PPR league, see a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 2, depending on the league you're in. And is Taylor Gabriel – somebody that people in really, really deep leagues should start to really think about?
I think so, especially if Andrew Hawkins doesn't play because he's listed as questionable. He's got 2 injuries. I think it's like a knee and a thigh. The Browns beat writers expect Andrew Hawkins to play, but, I mean, he's going to be listed as questionable. He's a game-time decision. I think that if he's out, Taylor Gabriel, if he's declared inactive on Thursday evening, Taylor Gabriel probably ends up running most of his routes. And Taylor Gabriel has shown some explosive ability. I mean, the guy's only 5'8", 170. But, you know, I think he could fill in for that role. If Hawkins plays, I don't think you can really play Taylor Gabriel. But, I mean, this guy, he's got a 40-inch vertical. He's he runs 4.4 flat, I think. And he has made, I mean, he's averaging 19.2 yards per reception on the year. If we see Andrew Hawkins inactive, I think that Taylor Gabriel is somebody to think about. The Browns don't have Josh Gordon. They don't have Jordan Cameron. Somebody's got to catch the footballs. And Taylor Gabriel has the most big playability in their receiver corps.
How about the Cincinnati Bengals? A.J. Green is back. Does that mean, based on what you saw, that he absolutely has to be in your lineup? And I'm assuming at this point, with what Jeremy Hill did, if you own him, you better play him no matter who else you have.
Yeah, I mean, and this is going to be a difficult matchup for A.J. against Joe Hayden, who, by the way, over the last 2 weeks has been phenomenal. The Bucs had some passing game success last week, but, I mean, I watched the game, and it must have been 90% of their completions and yards came against Buster Screen and Kawan Williams. I mean, Joe Hayden was a shutdown corner on Sunday, and I thought that he was a difference maker against the Raiders the previous week. Last year, A.J. Green and Joe Hayden squared off twice, and A.J. Green had 7 catches for 51 yards, no TDs in the first one, and then in the second game, 2 catches for 7 yards and no TDs. But if you go back a little bit further, A.J. Green has had success against Joe Hayden, but I think that that will be a great matchup. I think you definitely got to play A.J. Green anytime that he's active for a football game. But, you know, that will be one of the key matchups in the game on Thursday night.
Next meal.
Tennessee Titans at the Baltimore Ravens.
Zach Mettenberger's first road game. The Ravens coming off of a disappointing outing on the road in Pittsburgh. Let's start with the road team. With Mettenberger under center, is there anybody that you think that really benefits? We talked about it last time he played. Now that you saw him once, does that make you stock up or stock down for Sankey, Delaney Walker, Justin Hunter, Kendall Wright?
Well, in theory, it should help Justin Hunter because Justin Hunter is a vertical wide receiver and Zach Mettenberger has a vertical arm. So, and in Mettenberger's first start in week 8 against Houston, Justin Hunter had 10 targets, which led the team. He wasn't very efficient. I mean, he finished with like 34 yards. He did score a touchdown. The Ravens, again, will be without their top cornerback, Jimmy Smith. So I kind of like Justin Hunter this week. If you're kind of struggling for a third receiver option in fantasy or you're playing in a daily league like DraftKings or FanDuel and you want somebody who can give you some upside, I think Zach Mettenberger ends up throwing the ball a lot in this game. Ken Wisenhunt has shown a willingness to abandon the run when it's not working. And, I mean, I don't think that Bishop Sankey is going to run on the Ravens defense in Baltimore. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Mettenberger had 35 or 40 attempts in this game. Justin Hunter had 8 to 12 targets. And, you know, I mean, that's a lot of opportunity for a guy with big playability who, you know, we've talked about him a lot. He's clearly not to his maximum yet, but he has that potential. And if you're just looking for a guy with potential, Justin Hunter gives it to you. The rest of the pass catchers, I mean, they're going to be a toss-up. You know, Delaney Walker did have 9 targets in Mettenberger's first start. He would probably be the most reliable. Kendall Wright has been all over the map all season. He's 35th in fantasy receiver scoring on the year. So he's, you know, a fringe third receiver in a fantasy league.
As for the Baltimore Ravens, the last 2 losses on the road, what is that done to you in terms of their skill guys, and how do you look at this matchup?
You know, Joe Flacco has just kind of turned back into Joe Flacco. You know, I mean, we were talking about him early in the season that he was kind of tearing it up there for a while, but you know, they've had some offensive line shuffling. That's another zone team, and I know that affects the run game more than anything, but their O-line has been shuffled, and you know, Owen Daniels has been in and out. Steve Smith, as great as he was early in the year, he's still a 35-year-old guy who over the course of the season probably is likelier to lose steam than pick up steam. Torrey Smith has been maddeningly inconsistent. I mean, one of the most inconsistent players in the NFL. So, you know, the supporting cast really isn't great. I mean, their running back is as solid as Justin Forsett has been. I mean, he's a 29-year-old journeyman, and their best receiver is a 5'9" guy who's 35 years old. So, you know, they really don't have, like, great talent on their offense. I think that Gary Kubiak has done a great job scheming and compensating for a lot of their losses, and they've been consistently competitive and have a pretty good record. But, you know, I mean, they're not going to rip up the fantasy stat sheet.
Well, if your team isn't ripping up the fantasy stat sheet, they should go to DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, because you know what? Your season-long team, you might be out of it or just about officially out of it. At DraftKings.com, it's 1 week. So if you have an injured player and your real team or your team's been a bust, why not go to DraftKings.com and check it out? You can pick your team in minutes, and you could win some cash. You've heard this success story. There's a guy that turned $11 into $4,000. Another guy won $100,000. But you can get in using our code FEAST and play for free and win some money. Even if you don't win the huge bucks, it's entertaining. It makes the games on Sunday a lot more interesting. And you might win some money. Maybe a lot of money. Maybe just a little bit of money. But either way, it's entertaining. Go over to DraftKings.com now. Enter promo code FEAST to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter FEAST for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Put in FEAST, baby.
Next meal.
Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs at the Buffalo Bills.
Let's do it. I'm looking forward to this game. You know, these are two teams. This is a big game for these two teams in terms of their playoff hopes. The Chiefs are just playing really, really consistent football, but it doesn't feel like they're lighting the world on fire with any of their individual players in terms of fantasy. I mean, they're spreading it around so much, whether it's, you know, Kelce. I mean, Fasano had a did you see Fasano's touchdown? Are you kidding me? I mean, that's a touchdown. I mean, we couldn't somehow have gotten it to Kelce somehow, some way. And now they're going against the Bills and that defensive line. I mean, I have Jamaal Charles. I'm still starting him, obviously. What do you think about people that might have Nile Davis in a deep league, Kelce, or maybe even the unfortunate Dwayne Bowe owners?
I love the bit about complaining about Fasano touchdowns. I mean, you're turning into a fantasy guy, Ross.
Well, that was just ridiculous.
Right, I know, but
hey, by the way, can I tell you something else?
What?
Guess who my running back is? One of my starters every week, Jerick McKinnon. So I'm watching as every time they get within the five, right, they put Asiata in, which just drives me absolutely crazy as Asiata vultures all my touchdowns. I'll tell you what, Matt Asiata, he's lucky I won. Otherwise, I would have had a bone to pick with him.
Right. So this Bills Chiefs game has a 42-point over-under, which is the lowest of the week. You know, I wouldn't get cute trying to start Dwayne Bowe. Travis Kelce, I mean, he's a fantasy starter. I mean, he's ninth in fantasy scoring over the course of the season among tight ends. But, you know, I mean, you can't expect, like, a huge game from him, especially the way that they use him. I mean, he plays under 60% of the snaps. You know, he's never going to see more than probably six targets in a game, the way that they're using him right now. Donnie Avery will be back. Great. You know, the Bills have a great defense. The game is in Buffalo. Nothing about the Kansas City offense, you know, would excite me. On Buffalo's side, it's pretty much Sammy Watkins and then everybody else. I mean, Sammy Watkins has been a wide receiver one in fantasy in three of Kyle Orton's four starts. And in the other one, he only had two catches for 27 yards. That was against Darrell Revis. So Sammy Watkins, I mean, he's a stud. He should be in your lineup every single week. The running back situation will be interesting, and we really can't speak on it with a whole lot of confidence right now because Fred Jackson returned to practice today, Ross. So You know, I don't know. I mean, Booby Dixon, Bryce Brown, who knows, man? You know, Fred Jackson, it looks like he might be back in the mix.
Next meal.
The Miami Dolphins at the Detroit Lions.
Well, this feels like it's going to be a defensive struggle, the way these defenses are playing. The Lions, Calvin Johnson has said he'll be back. But we're talking about the Dolphins here on the AFC podcast. So let's look specifically at Miami. I got to tell you, Evan, I'm loving the fact that Lazor is using Tannehill's athleticism. Where is Tannehill as a fantasy quarterback now?
You know, he was 17th among quarterbacks entering last week. I haven't looked at the updated rankings, but I would assume that he's probably in that 12 to 14 range. And he gives you a nice floor every week because of those rushing numbers. You know, I mean, he's not gonna kill your week. That said, you know, the Lions have they're number two in the NFL in pass defense. And you know, my guess is that over the next 3 weeks, Tannehill kind of turns back into a pumpkin. I mean, he faces Detroit, Buffalo, and Denver all in a row. Those are some really good D's. You know, I mean, unless you're in a two quarterback league, I wouldn't want to use Ryan Tannehill against the Lions. I would be kind of concerned about Mike Wallace. Jarvis Landry would be an interesting guy this week because the Lions, he primarily plays in the slot, and the Lions have shuffled at slot cornerback like all season long. I mean, they went through Bill Bentley and Danny Gorer and I don't know, some other guys. I mean, I don't even know who their slot corner is going to be on Sunday in this game. I think that Jarvis Landry has a chance at, you know, I think he's got a good matchup. I think he's got a better matchup on paper than Mike Wallace, who will be mostly playing on the outside. If you're Jarvis Landry, I think he played almost 80% of the snaps last week. So he's basically a full-time player in their offense. He's getting targeted more than Brian Hartline. You know, I don't know if he's available in your league, but I think that if you need a guy, especially in PPR, that might be available, I would grab Jarvis Landry. And if you're in a return yardage league, I mean, this guy returns kickoffs and punts. So he's basically an every week starter in a league like that.
Next meal.
All right, across the pond, we've got Dallas and Jacksonville.
Well, we're talking about the Jags here on the AFC Fantasy Feast podcast. We'll get into the Cowboys on the NFC Fantasy Feast podcast. Well, I mean, I don't know what to say, Evan, other than Denard Robinson continues to produce. How about, by the way, I don't know if you saw that, Toby Gerhart started to show some signs of life. I'm sure most people gave up on him. But if you look, and I talked to Gus Bradley about this on Friday, he hasn't really been healthy at all. He finally is back to health, and he made a couple plays on Sunday. The problem for him, though, now is Denard Robinson's doing so well. I just don't know how many touches Gerhardt's really going to get to prove himself. And he's more of a workhorse guy when he stays healthy, which is not often.
Right, and people don't like to hear positive things about Toby Gerhart because he burned people. I mean, he burned me too. But he's a solid NFL running back. You know, I mean, he was extremely productive at Stanford. He's been productive in all of his opportunities in the NFL until this year. I mean, he's a really good athlete. He used to start in the outfield on Stanford's baseball team. And his combine measurables are similar to Steven Jackson's. I mean, he's a lot better than people want to give him credit for, but he suffered a high ankle sprain in week one. And he could not play through it, particularly behind a bad offensive line that didn't have a quarterback at the time and, you know, was the worst offense in the league for quite a while and is still, you know, down there. But Denard Robinson has capitalized on his opportunities. He's got speed to, you know, beat linebackers to the outside. I think he runs with toughness inside. I mean, he's never going to be a power back, but, you know, he's tough enough to run inside. And Denard Robinson should have opportunities against that run defense, and he's getting the ball a lot. So he's a second running back in fantasy. I mean, I don't think he's going to score a lot of touchdowns. I think that they might pull him for Toby Gerhart if the Jaguars get down at the goal line. But Denard Robinson is playing you know, excellent right now. And, you know, I agree that, you know, he's a solid second running back in fantasy.
Next meal.
Can Big Ben throw six more touchdowns this Sunday against the Jets?
You know, I would say no, but I didn't think he would do it against the Ravens either. He is on an absolute tear right now. And how about the fact that Le'Veon Bell was 245 pounds, yet they're throwing him back shoulder throws? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if you're throwing a back shoulder throw to a running back, that is legit. And a dude that was 245 at one point, he's got 47 catches this year, almost 10 yards per catch as well. I mean, we talk about every week, I feel like, Evan, but Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are every week starters. There's no question. What about Heath Miller and Martavis Bryant, Marcus Wheaton? Where's Heath Miller in terms of your tight ends for people that have buys this week? And what about Wheaton or Martavis Bryant? Are they a guy that, because of the buys this week, if you're in a 14, 16 team league, that maybe you should consider, especially Bryant, since he's like a touchdown maker?
Yeah. Ross, how much do you think that Le'Veon Bell weighs right now, if you had to guess?
225, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, he was listed at 244. This is a 244. I don't think he lost a lot more than 20 pounds.
Yeah. I would say that he's like, I would guess that he's like in the 218 to 224 range. I mean, he's 6'1", so he's 6'1", so he's pretty tall.
Yeah.
So he's going to weigh a little bit more. But anyways, Martavis Bryant's snap count has risen every week that he's played. I think he was at 53 or 51% this past week. He gets targeted more than Marcus Wheaton. And look, you know, it's there is probably going to be a bump in the road at some point along the way, as we've kind of seen with Travis Kelce. These guys who aren't full-time players, they're rotational players. You know, there will be a week where they have four targets and catch two balls for 23 yards. I mean, that's coming for Martavis Bryant. But look at this matchup. The Jets have a 24-1 touchdown to interception ratio allowed. They've allowed 24 touchdowns and they have one interception on the season. That's easily the worst in the NFL. They've allowed 24 touchdown receptions, and the next closest in the NFL has allowed 18 touchdown receptions. So in all likelihood, touchdowns are going to be caught on Sunday. I think Martavis Bryant is a pretty good bet to score a touchdown on Sunday. Antonio Brown is obviously going to be a great bet. I think Ben Roethlisberger throws three or four TDs again. And I think that Heath Miller is a good play as well. I mean, he's been very, very inconsistent, but over the course of the year, he's a top 12 fantasy tight end. And, he plays 96% of the Steelers' offensive snaps. His passing game role has been kind of up and down, but, I mean, I think that the Steelers are going to have offensive success, passing game success against the Jets, because everybody does. So if you need a tight end, Heath Miller makes a lot of sense in a slot where you're needy. And also, the Jets have allowed the third most fantasy points to tight ends, including 11 touchdown receptions to tight end, which is the most in the league as well.
As for the Jets, Evan, it feels to me watching them that Michael Vick is trying to get the ball to Chris Johnson and Percy Harvin. And I don't know if that's a Marty Morningwick thing or a Michael Vick thing. What does that mean for those guys in terms of fantasy?
Yeah, I mean, Percy Harvin has been funneled the football so far as a Jet. I mean, he's got 22 targets and 5 rushing attempts in 2 games as a Jet. That's a lot. You know, I mean, they are trying to funnel a ton of offense through him. His snap rate rose from, I believe, 53% in week 8 to 84% in week 9. So he's already a full-time player. You know, the Steelers are going to be without Troy Polamalu and Ryan Shazier on Sunday. So that takes a lot of speed off the field, particularly Shazier, who runs 4.37. I mean, how are they going to guard Percy Harvin? I mean, I think and Percy Harvin's getting the ball a ton, and they're also trying to get it to him downfield. I mean, I think Percy Harvin's a great fantasy star. I don't know about Chris Johnson. Look, the guy is capable of having a good game every now and again. You know, I mean, we see flashes of it every now and again, and then the next game he, you know, will revert back to not running hard. And I don't know what to say about him having a good game.
You heard it there from Evan Silva. Take it to the bank on Percy Harvin. You know why they don't say that expression's not take it to the post office? Because the post office stinks. So just use stamps.com like we do. You can mail and ship anything anywhere using your own computer and printer right from your desk. You guys are smart people. You listen to podcasts, on-demand audio. Stamps.com is a smart business. It does all the work for you. It's. I know you're sitting there thinking, wait a minute, how does this work? What? I don't get it. I'm telling you, it's crazy easy. Your computer, your current computer and printer can spit out official U.S. postage. They have discounts. And we have a special offer just for you guys. If you use our promo code FANTASY, it's a no-risk trial. That's very important. There's no risk. There's no money down for you. No risk trial. Plus, a $110 bonus offer includes a digital scale up to $55 free postage. So don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in fantasy. That's stamps.com. Enter fantasy. It's a no-risk trial. Why not?
Next meal.
Our final AFC game to talk about, the Denver Broncos at the Oakland Raiders.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really make sense to talk about Denver that much. You know, it feels like even though the Raiders are an improving team, everybody still can score a decent amount on them. So is there any reason not to start any of your guys for Denver?
No, I mean, you start them all. Julius Thomas is an obvious start. I would expect him to resume scoring touchdowns and getting more production real soon. Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders are every week first receivers in fantasy. Ronnie Hillman, you know, I mean, he's got 17 touches or 17 or more touches, I think, in four straight games. The Raiders are average to below average in run defense. The only concern for Ronnie Hillman that I might have would be if the Broncos just paced the Raiders. And then, you know, they start giving work to Juwan Thompson and C.J. Anderson, who C.J. Anderson actually had a pretty good game there in the fourth quarter last week. But, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I'm not telling you to bench Ronnie Hillman in your fantasy league. That would just be my one small concern. Because Ronnie Hillman over the last 2 weeks has had some injuries. He's had a shoulder injury and an ankle injury, and he really struggled in pass protection last week. So just a little thing to, you know, just don't be surprised if it happens, if we see a little bit more C.J. Anderson and Juwan Thompson in this game.
As for the Raiders, anybody, anyone, anything, anyone, anybody, anybody, anything, anyone?
I guess Michael Rivera would be one guy we could talk about. He's got 20 targets over the last two games. He's suddenly become a huge part of the Raiders' passing attack. I mean, he caught two goal line touchdowns last week. You know, if you're desperate at tight end, he makes some sense. I don't think that this usage will keep up. You know, I mean, we have a much bigger sample size that, you know, kind of suggests he's not a great player. But it's also a game where there could be a lot of garbage time throwing by the Raiders, who are not going to be able to run. There's no chance that they'll be able to run on the Broncos, and they'll probably fall behind. I mean, they're 12-point dogs at home. So Michael Rivera, if you need a tight end, he would make some sense. I would prefer Heath Miller personally, the guy we talked about a little bit earlier. But, you know, Michael Rivera makes some sense. I mean, there are some reasons to think that he could see a lot of targets again in this game.
Well, that'll do it for the AFC Week 10 Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast with Evan Silva. You can follow all of us on Twitter, and you should. Evan Silva always dropping nuggets at Evan Silva. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. At RTF Podcast is the official Twitter handle, and you'll see that account will post as soon as the Fantasy Feasts are ready for you each week, so you can consume them right away. We got a big game Thursday night, Bengals and the Browns. Please, 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 if you like this podcast, go to stamps.com and put in that code FEAST. No, fantasy. I forget which one it is. What is it? Stamps.com is fantasy. It's a no-risk trial. Feast is for DraftKings. I just screwed up. Have a good day.
Thanks for downloading the Fantasy Feast Eaton podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Even Money Podcast as well, all of which are available at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
TrueCar is changing car buying forever. TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Just in the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.